47. Good to have everybody here this morning. Thank you so much for attending. I believe we're going to have a baptism right after service, so I'll do my best. Psalm chapter 47 and verse 4, but we're going to read the first three with it. The Bible says in verse 1, O clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. Boy, I like this. He shall choose our inheritance for us. Now, I don't know about you, but we're going to talk a little bit. The choices we make, that's the only thing we can do. But what has He chosen for us? Praise the Lord. What is waiting for us? Just a thought. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Brother Colton, stand up real big and tall and lead us in prayer.
Child to suffer a little. But at the end of the day,
You want your child to have the best. You want your child to be successful. You want your child to have the things that they need. Everybody in this room, if you pass one thing down here, the vast majority, 99.9%, want their children to have the best that they need. Do you think God's different? God wants you to have the best. I don't think God set out to make us people that don't have things. Okay? I don't think He wants us to be wealthy, but I don't think He wants us to be fathers. I think He wants you to work. I think He wants you to serve. I think He wants you to do those things, and He'll take care of you. Yeah. I think that's what He'll do. I think He's a dad that said He will take care of the needs of His children. And by the way, not everybody's a child of God.
Right. That's right.
Not everybody's a child of my dad.
That's right.
I'm a child of my dad, but there's only two of us. Amen? The inheritance will only be passed down to my brother and I. If there's any at all, it will only be passed down to my brother and I. And if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you don't have the right last name.
That's right.
If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you're not in that inheritance. If you don't know the Lord is your Savior, you don't have nothing to look forward to. If you don't know the Lord is your Savior, you're not a child of God. Don't buy into the fact that the world is telling you that we are all children of God. You're not!
That's right.
Bible says that you're a child of God by faith in Christ Jesus. That's the way you become a son of God. That's the way you become a child. And immediately when you accept Him as Savior, you become a son of God, which means you get the inheritance. You get the life that you can live as a Christian. You get the things that He's given you, and you'll never have it taken away.
Amen.
I'm amazed at preachers that preach you can lose your salvation. I'll never grab a hold of that. As much as my daddy wanted to get rid of me, I still bore his last name. No matter what, but Brother Billy, you are, good Lord, you know where you're attached to. William Clark Turner, the first, second, third, you are right down the line. They couldn't get rid of you if they wanted because you're not going to change your name. And even if you did change your name, son, you're still their son, right down the line. He will always be their son. No matter what happens, he'll be their son. And I'm going to tell you right now, to preach the fact that he could become not their son is crazy.
Yes.
I've had meetings in my office over people telling me, how can you preach that you cannot lose your salvation? How can you preach eternal security? How can you not preach eternal security?
Right.
What did you do to get salvation? Did you merit salvation? Did you do good works? Is there something you did? For by grace you saved through faith, that not of yourself, so the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So you did. You weren't good enough. You didn't do anything. So if you didn't do anything to get your salvation, why do you think you had to do something to keep it?
Amen. Right.
You said, oh, no, I'm going to be a good person from here on out. Well, guess what? You failed just 2 seconds ago.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Yep.
You just failed. Hey, listen. Every one of us in this room is not good enough to keep their salvation. Not one. You can say what you want to say. A lot of people, you got to get baptized every time and repent and go get baptized. Let me tell you something. We'd be walking around wet a lot. We literally are sinners saved by grace. That's taken care of by your dad. That is something that God takes care of, not you. Now, does that give us the liberality to go out and do whatever we want to do? It shouldn't. You should have a desire to be holy. You should have a desire to not sin. You should have a desire to get better. But understand this. The way you live down here has nothing to do with your inheritance there. That's an assurance. Heaven is an assurance. If you know the Lord is your Savior, you can never become unsaved.
Amen.
That's God talking, not me.
Yeah.
The Lord says that in His Bible.
Yep.
Now, I believe we have a wonderful inheritance waiting on us that we will never be able to grab a hold of. We'll never be able to understand down here how wonderful that is. And He chooses that for us. God has chosen what our inheritance is. What a great God that is. What a great God that He's got it all picked out. You don't have to worry about window treatments. You don't have to worry about that's neat that I knew that word. I didn't say curtains, I said window treatments. That's impressive, isn't it? Praise the Lord. As far as I know, I'm decorating or whatever. You don't have to choose. He's chosen for you. You know how He can do that?
See, in the back of your mind, you think, well, how's it going on? I think your dad knows your heart. I think your daddy can see inside of you. And I think he's prepared something just for you. And I think that inheritance is going to be so wonderful. It's going to mean something to you. It's going to be something that your dad has given you. What a wonderful Lord we have. What a wonderful God we have. But my question is, if we have the end chosen for us, and by the way, if you're saved, God had that chosen for you too. See, God gave us a way to get saved. He gave us a way by sending His only begotten Son down to this earth, that whosoever will call upon Him shall be saved. We're so excited that that's the truth. We're so excited that you don't have to be good to get saved. You don't have to clean up your life to get saved. You don't have to become sinless to get saved. You've got to ask Him to save you.
Amen.
That's the beginning and the end. He's given everything. He's paid it all. There's not one dime that you owe. But after you get saved, you should come to the thought process, man, I should get busy about His work. Because there's one thing I always wanted to do, and I bet you you did too. I always wanted to make my dad proud.
Pride goeth before a fall.
Thank you for remembering that Bible verse. I appreciate that. I always wanted to make my dad proud. Throughout all my life. My dad, he didn't spend a lot, okay? And I know that's why. My dad, he would do this to me, and it was to me, it was worse. It worked for me, it was just worse to me. My dad would look me right in the eye and say, son, I want you to go into the room and think about what you just did. Just spank me and get it over with. Good Lord. Now I gotta go sit in my room and think about what I just did. I don't want to think about what I just did. I know what I just did. And as I would walk with a dejected strut, he would say, son, I'm disappointed. You might as well reach in my chest and hold out my heart, because I never wanted to disappoint my dad. I always wanted him to be proud that I was his son. I'll tell you a story. So for years, I got saved when I was old. And any of you all know my testimony. 1 year old, I lived like the devil for quite a few years. And then the Lord got me right. And whatever it is, what it is, I'm not going to worry about that part. But understand this, there was a day I became a preacher. And the Lord called me and I knew it. And by the way, I knew that I had to preach. I knew that. And by the way, preaching is a calling. It's not a job. It's not a job. Serving the Lord is not a job.
Amen.
God calls you. Because if He doesn't call you, you'll never make it.
Right.
You'll never make it. I don't understand. Preachers say, well, I didn't get called. I just started preaching. I told God, if you ever want me to stop, I'll stop. You shouldn't have started it, idiot. Because you've never been called.
Yep.
And you know it. And if you say you don't know it, then you're not called. Quit saying you don't know. If you don't know, you're not called. It's really easy. I knew that I knew, and I came up to these steps, and I couldn't even speak. You remember that day, because I'm telling you right now, you felt the same way. I came up here, and I thought, sure, I just walked up, that's right. Here I am, God, said me. Because I know that you called me, and it's a good thing you did, because I'm here. Hey, whatever. You think that that's the way it's going to be. I preached to Paul lots of times. It wasn't nothing new to me. I walked up here. I couldn't even say hello. It was like I couldn't even breathe. Humiliating. But I knew that moment what God wanted me to do. I knew it. Never looked back, by the way. But my dad didn't bring to church. Hold on. My dad didn't know church. Good man. My dad's one of the best men I know. No doubt about it. Not in the minute from no back, this is not. But he's one of the best men I know, most honest men I know. He would rather be honest and lose his shirt than to shoot anybody I had any
year.
He'd be a pauper the rest of his life as long as he didn't shoot anybody. I wasn't sure if he'd be happy. I wasn't. I wasn't sure if you'd be excited about me serving God. I really wasn't. At the time, my mom was out of the picture, had no conversation with her. So here I was, surrendering to the Lord, and I didn't clear it with that person.
Wow.
Not my way. I cleared it with him. He cleared it with me, to be honest with you. And I'll never forget, he was in church for the first time, so about 6 rows back. And I preached it. You can't stop preaching because daddy's in the audience.
Right.
Oh, you go, well, of course not. You should let it fly when your dad's in the audience. Yeah, that's real easy to say.
Yeah.
You know, but I stood up there, and I'm going to tell you right now, I was nervous, and I was worried, and I feared, oh, I don't want to say anything wrong. I don't want to offend him because at the time, my daddy was lost. And I had witnessed to him, but I get just to the point. Don't ever stop witnessing to your family, though, because I'm going to tell you, if you don't win it, who's going to win it?
That's
right. So he said, he's back 6, 8, 10 rows back. I get done preaching. I walk out, and I'm sure he's going to say, son, I cannot believe what you're doing, what you're doing, you're wrong. I thought this was going to be different. Because I let it lie. We go, whatever. He meets me on the back. He's got a tear in his eye. I don't see anybody have a name. He's got a tear in his eye. He says, I'm going to let you know. I'm proud of you.
Wow.
And what you're doing. All of a sudden, I felt like I was a Saul. Why? Because my daddy was happy and proud of what I was doing. So he told me. He didn't say that. But there was a day. He was sitting right here. My dad would not raise his hand. That's my dad. My dad would not. I don't care. You could twist his arm. He doesn't do anything without it being real. My dad does not fake people. Never would. I preached a message that was not a salvation message. It was not. Probably the third time, maybe fourth time he heard me preach. It was not salvation. And I'm telling you right now, I just preach whatever. And I come over here and I get down on my knees and say, oh God, please save my dad. Please save my dad. Oh God, please save my dad. And the preacher was giving the invitation. And a hand went up. And I didn't, I'm praying. Hand went up. The preacher almost started crying himself. He said, there's one. I knew it was my dad. And I looked around and said, did you get saved today? He doesn't recognize it. Yes, I did.
Oh,
God. Let me tell you something.
Amen.
We need to share. God has prepared for us, we need to share. Together. Joint heirs. Together. And I know it's a wonderful story because it's me and my dad, but it's no different than me and Michael. It's no different than me and Bill. I promise you this, God has something prepared for us, joint heirs with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We all get it. Nothing you did deserves it. But you still get it. He gave us our beginning, our salvation. My daddy got saved right here. I got saved on Galena Street. You know that story. I got down on my knees in front of an old green register. I didn't pay nothing for a preacher. I didn't pay nothing. Free. I've been stingy ever since. Free. I got saved. I can take you to the place I got saved. I can tell you how I got saved. And I pray to God that you know how you got saved. And I pray to God you can take you to the day that you got saved. Because I worry if you can't that you're not. That's the beginning, and he's given it to us. Freely. Paying for it with his son. Free. He's given us our end. And praise God, we accept the bowl. Is any of you turning God to heaven anytime soon? You know what, God? I'm good. I don't think so. You're excited about it. Even if you haven't thought, I don't know how I'm going to act like it, but praise the Lord, it's there. Amen. You believe and you know it's coming. And you believe that what you did is going to get you to heaven, and you should. He that the Son has life. You know it. That's the beginning. That's the end. Can I ask you a question?
He chose the front, he chose the back. Why can't we let him choose the middle?
That's right.
Turn over to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. You know these verses. But as I read Psalms, I said to myself, man, he's choosing our inheritance for us. And there isn't a whole lot better daddy in the world to choose our inheritance than God the Father. He did a pretty good job choosing the way we get saved. Praise the Lord. The Bible says in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You know, that's easy to read, but hard to do. Oh, you say you do every day. You liar. You ought to understand something. To trust in the Lord with all thine heart, you let the things of this world become strangely dim. Amen. To trust in the Lord with all thine heart, you don't worry about the things that are encompassing you from the world, bombarding you on every side. He will choose the path for you. Yeah. And let me ask you a question, Brother Bill. Did your daddy ever try to give you a path that was the wrong one? Huh? Did your daddy ever say, you know what you ought to do? You ought to go to the bar and get drunk. You never did that. And if you got a dad that does it, I feel bad for you, but understand this. Your daddy does not want you to fail. He does not want your child, you don't want them to fail. I guarantee you, Brother McDaniel, you're not bringing those babies here so you can not teach them how to succeed. Why do you think I started out talking about you're the ones that raise your kids? You don't want your children to fail. Now listen, it's going to hurt some of your feelings. But your children may fail, even though they're perfect. Your children may fail. Do you know why they may fail? Because your children have to choose too.
That's right.
Why do you think I get so excited about kids that have never fallen into sin? Why do you think I want to make such a big hoopty-go over that? Because it's so rare. Because children have to choose. Michael, listen, buddy. You got to choose to do right. I don't care how good he is to you. You still have to choose to do right. You've been given a great situation with a guy that likes you a lot. That doesn't make you good. It doesn't make you successful. It sure does give you a chance, though. And it's up to you to make sure you take it.
That's right.
Teenager, why do you think you use ministry school to call? Two reasons. One, no grounds for it. Well, that went over bad. Let me say that again. Listen, why are we always mad at the youth director? I did it for 10 years. I had more problems with parents than I ever had with kids. Yeah. I had a parent come to me. I told the story a lot, but it's funny. I get the biggest kick out of it all the time. We had a youth gathering at somebody's house. We went to their house. And I was just a kid at that time. I was probably 23, 24 years old. I was that age. They're playing ping pong, everything, having a good time. And I see a door crack in the bedroom. I was worried about that. Because if you're a youth director, you don't think like other people think.
Right.
When you're a youth director, you think your kids are messing up. Now you don't, oh, that's terrible. My children never mess up. And that's like parental support. Anyways, doors cracked open. And I peeked my head in and I saw two kids laying in the bed. That's not right, correct? I mean, trying to go through the rule book, I think the kids ought not be in the bedroom with the door shut laying on the bed. It seems to me there's a rule there.
Right.
I was a little ornery. I know you're surprised. And I went and got a glass of water with ice in it.
Oh.
Right now, you are not as strong as a man.
Amen.
Okay. There's boy strength and there's man strength. Okay. Men have a different strength than boys do. I've never lost a match to a teenager yet, son. I'm not going to start with you. When they get that big, I quit fighting them. The boy jumps out of the bed, runs to the door, throws the door open. I did not run. I was standing in the doorway. There was a wall that went right behind the door. Door opened up, there's a wall. He opened up the door, I went, boom! I hit him. Oh, you are. What? You ever do that to my child? Your child's laying in the bed with a girl? The gloves are off.
Yeah, right. Amen. That's right. Amen.
They're opening my kid. He goes to the door, bam! Slam the door shut. He's gone around. I'm not a weakling, especially when I'm upset. Doc can hear him down there. I can hear him cursing as he goes to get up. He opened the door again. I didn't run. I was still there. He comes to push me. Well, that's in the flesh. Oh, no, it wasn't. Oh, no, it wasn't. Now, listen. This is what happened. This is what happened. The mother of the girl kicked me out. This is a youth record, not by the church. Kicked me out of the house. I thought she would be praising the Lord instead of him out.
That's right.
I got sent out. Now, 3-4 months later, you tell me what you think happened.
Not right.
Okay? This girl now is a child. Not today, but back then. Now she's had a child. That's what they claim. Why do you say those things, brother? Because they were good kids. But the kids still have to make a choice.
Correct. Yes. Yes.
That choice is to let God make the choice for them.
Amen.
These kids have to let God make the choice for them. Autumn, I don't care how good you are, honey, you're great. I love you. You're a sweet, sweet girl. But God still has to make a choice, sweetheart. You've got to let yourself know that you're giving your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and let Him have control. I don't care how good your mom and daddy are, you still have to make the right choices, amen? Come with me up. You have to do that by letting Christ make your choice, by letting God make your choices.
Yes.
Now, I say that, and you say, that's easy to say. Do you think God wants you to do wrong? No, He's pretty much against wrong.
Yeah.
He wants you to do right. And by the way, the vast majority of moms and dads want their children to do right. So if you let God make the choice, are you going to do wrong? No. God wants to make the right choice for you. God has chosen your front, He's chosen your back. Why can't you let Him choose the middle?
Amen.
Now, if we look at these verses, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Now I've hit on the teenagers. Now let me speak with the adult crowd. If He will choose your ending, He'll choose your beginning. Why can't He choose the middle and you let Him choose your battles? Because God will not give you a battle you can't win. Why won't you let God choose your battles? Adults, you fight battles you ought never fight. I'm not talking about fisticuffs, I'm not talking about that. Spiritual battles. Spiritual battles with other brethren, never understood it. Never understand it. I never understand why we decide to devour each other. Never get it. I'll never come under the understanding of why we're so mean to each other. Never get it. I never understand why we have a battle. We have a fight to win, and that fight is to win lost souls. That is what we're here for. And because somebody doesn't do it right, and then listen, I know that there's a way to lead somebody to Christ, but it's amazing to me how nitpicky we get with each other. How nitpicky we get with another person. How we cannot wait to point each other's faults out. Why don't you let God choose your battles?
Well, this person is driving me crazy. I can't stand them. And I'm telling you right now, my whole church service is ruined. Thank you very much.
You're not fighting that battle. That is a battle you're not fighting. Why don't you give that battle to the Lord?
Yeah.
Why don't you come to church today? Did you come to church today to see what Nancy wants his buses wear? Did you come to church to see how many times I'll mess up on my speaking, Austin? Did you come to see if you would have a choir miss a word or two? Oh, wait a minute. You laughed at that, right? Why aren't you in the choir? Because if you were in there, we could never miss those words.
It is so good. God is so good.
We pick battles that the Lord never picked for us. There's a time to stand. There's a time to have battles. There's a time to stand. You come to me with the King James Bible, not the pure word of God, I'm standing right here. You're never going to get me to move.
Amen.
Never. You can come, but I'm not even going to argue with you because you're a moron.
Yep. Wow. Amen.
Hey, whatever. Get mad at me. Oh, that's a horrible. That's a fleshy. I'm going to tell you, I can take 10 minutes with you and tell you why it's not. The NIV is not the word of God. The New King James is not the word of God. I can show you if you want, but why don't you just believe the word of God?
Yes.
Why can't we let God choose our battles? Listen to this. Not only that, why can't we let God choose your mercies? What do you mean by that, brother? We expect God to treat us in a certain way.
Boy, quiet now.
My dad, and I use my dad because the Lord gave us a family for a reason. I hope you understand that. The Lord gave us a family to look as like a type. Like this is how much he loves you, more than this. More than dad could ever love you. More than mom could ever love you. He loves you more than them. And nobody loves you like your mama. Nobody.
That's right.
Nobody loves you like your mama. You do 100 million things wrong. Your mama's always going to go to bat for you. God bless them. I'm glad I've got a mama that loves me in spite of myself. But understand this. God, my dad, had mercy on me a lot. Sometimes that mercy included a spanking.
Yep.
Well, don't look at Proverbs 23:13. Because it tells you to grab a rod and beat it. I'm not saying go beat your children. Don't misread it. There's ways to do it. And it's on the higher parts. That's why the thing is fleshy. I had one that was bigger and fleshier than most. So I was very excited about that because the Lord knew it didn't get any more out. Sometimes mercy includes chastening. Amen? That's stupid. It's not stupid because God wants you to not do what you're doing. But we're so ignorant, break a window, dad's watching. Break a window, dad's watching. Break a window, dad. You eventually quit breaking the window, dummy. He's having mercy on you because he doesn't want you to keep going that direction. Amen? Sometimes mercy includes it. Why do we get to choose the mercies? Why did God? I've suffered enough. How many have ever said that? God, I've suffered enough. It's time for you to have some mercy on me. Why do you get to choose that? God chooses your mercy. Everything consists by him. God, we are fooled with ourselves quite often. And you say, well, you're really bringing me down today. This should not be bringing you down. This should be bringing you up. Because your God loves you so much that he chastens you. God loves you so much that he does give you mercy. And if you'd be honest with yourself, God has brought you along with a merciful hand.
Yep.
Throughout all your life, now listen, where I could be right now, oh my soul. Where I could be right now, I drank alcohol in my praise when I was a kid. Where I could be right now, I can't even express I should be in jail or dead. I'm going to tell you right now, the Lord didn't even, he shouldn't even have saved me as bad as I got. But he did. He gave me that mercy. He gave me that love. And today, still to this day, what's amazing to me is this. You get Christian, you get good, and then you think God's mercies dry up. Because we cease to see.
stops being worked for the right reasons. And we start thinking, well, God, I served you. Now you should give me new tires. Why do we need to choose the mercy of God? Don't you think that God's mercy will be far better than anything you can choose? Amen? Did we deserve heaven? What did we deserve? We deserved hell. His mercy said, no. His mercy said, I'm going to send my son. His mercy said he's going to die on that cross. Did he deserve to die? Did he deserve even to come? What a great merciful God we have. Why do we get to choose the mercies? Okay, now look at this. Why do we get to choose the mercy? Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Watch. Why do you get to choose your crosses? What you bear. Cast your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Why is it that we as Christians, and I know maybe this doesn't make a lot of sense to you, but we sometimes take up crosses that are unnecessary for us to take up. Sometimes we take up things in our life that we really ought not be taking up, and that should be brought to the Lord and given to him. But instead, we'd rather grab the bucket and the boat and start to try to bail on our own.
Right. Yeah.
Why is it that we get to choose the cross that his cross will never be too heavy. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Christ has a burden for you. And it is a burden. Being a Christian is a burden, but it's a burden that you share with him.
That's right.
And his yoke is easy, and his burden is light. Now, if you want to take on the burden of the world, maybe he won't help you with that one. Would you like to carry a cross alone? Think about that for a moment. Why do you want to do that alone? We've got a merciful Heavenly Father that loves you so very much. Why wouldn't you allow him to help you with that cross? Why do we get to choose our joy? You know, it's amazing that I'm almost done. It's amazing to me how we as Christians come to a decision how we're going to serve God. That's why preaching is a calling. It's not a choice. It's not a choice. I don't have the choice. I've got to preach. I've got to. I've got to. You can say, well, that doesn't make any sense. That's because you're not a called preacher. It makes sense, those that are called. Believe me, I'm not saying that highfalutin. Believe me, I'm not. What I am trying to tell you is this, though. God has something for you as well. The question is, in the back of your mind, do you not think that he will reveal to you what that is? It may not be a preacher. We spend, listen to me, this is so good. We spend more time dissatisfied with our current situation, especially in America. We spend more time dissatisfied with our current situation giving God the glory for the situation he put us in. Let me give you this. I don't know why I'm not pastoring. I feel like I can preach a little. I feel like I've hung around the ministry enough to know. I've had churches call. I have even gone to churches. But God has never moved. What should I do? Should I get mad? Huh? Because let me tell you, I've asked God. And I don't want to leave here. Are you kidding me? It's wonderful. I'm a nut job. But what if God moves me? He does. What if God moves me here? See, here's the thing. What if God keeps you where you are? What if God keeps you doing what you're doing? What if he never moves you out of Canyon Road? What if he never moves you out of that ministry? Is there going to be a day someday where you look at him and say, God, I deserve more than this? Don't you think your Heavenly Father knows you? Huh? This is going over really bad, by the way. Everybody stop saying amen about 25, 30 seconds ago. You've got to understand something. I think God knows. Amen? And I think that if you're about your Father's business, whose business should you be about? Your Father's business.
He's got control. He's chose your inheritance. He's chose your beginning. I think he'll choose you the right path. And all I want is acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. If you acknowledge him in every way, then why are we so upset about our current situation? Can you answer me that? And there's times I do it too. I'm not coming to you saying, well, I'm always perfect and wonderful, and I always thank God for every little thing. I don't always thank God for every little thing, and that's the problem. Along the way, we forget. I hope and pray you don't take that attitude to heaven with you. God, I love my house, but I wish it would have been in silver, not gold. Oh, you say, well, I never, whatever. See, it's amazing to me how we get in our own life. And me, I'm telling you, I'm talking to me today. Don't act like I'm talking to you. I'm talking to me. You need to talk to you. Have a conversation with yourself. Think about what I'm telling you. God has something for your life, but you're not happy with what it is. Ooh, that's good stuff. Man, that's good stuff. You're mad, but you know I'm right. God has given you a job. You know what it is. But it is not in my agenda. Don't serve God in their misery.
Yep.
I think I'll just let him choose. I think I'll just let him choose. I know where I'm at. I know where I'm at. Almost ate it. Go back to before you guys say. Go back to before you guys say. You had this conversation about me. You had a very similar one. Although you had much cooler hair than I did. Take care of.
not good, not enough, and I caution you, make sure it's what God wants for you, not what you want for you. And once you have what God wants for you, don't you think that'll be better than anything that you can think of? Where do you find great joy? Oh, man. Where do you find great joy? You find great joy in Jesus. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Lord, please help us. Help us to understand that you're a great and almighty God. You love us so very much. And oh God, I think we discount that. I think we discount the fact that you want to steer our path. You want to direct us. I think we discount that. Lord God, there's been many times when I've second-guessed things and second-guessed what's going on. But God, it's not my job. My job is to let you choose. I believe that with all my heart. And oh God, I don't do it so often. So often, God, I do what I think is right without even consulting you first. Lord God, I need you. I need your help. As a Christian, Lord, we're never going to be happy unless we let you have the reins. We're never going to be happy unless we give it all to you. Lord, there's not one person in this room that's an accident. Not one. You've all started their life with salvation, or you've started their life through birth. And you've given them the opportunity to get saved. Lord, you've paid all that. You've done it. Lord God, you provided an inheritance for them that trust in you. For them that call upon you as Savior, you've provided an inheritance for them. We didn't earn it. We didn't pay for it. But God, there it is. Lord, please help us to give you the middle too. Help us to, in all our ways, acknowledge you so you can direct our paths. Oh God, please. Let us seek you out and let us let you make our choices. Let us give you what we are. We're sinners, saved by grace. And we're so thankful for that. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, how many can say with an uplifted hand, I know that I know that I know 100%.